Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I like it.
That's the one I wanted.
Yeah.
So I like it, but I do like having the songs you guys have, because when I hear them out in the wild, it reminds me of the show.
Of the show. Yeah,
you know
like
what I mean?
That.
So.
Yeah.
Well,
that is about at least using the same songs for a lot of time.
Yes.
Reminds you of it.
Man, the singing creed on Radio Row is real now, by the way.
Oh, it's going to happen.
I can't wait.
Are you going to sing with us?
Yeah, you should sing. Yeah. Were you and Chickie's yesterday? We had a sing-along at
Chickie's. Wasn't there for the 5:30, but
okay.
Chickie's was crazy last night.
It was. Yeah. It was. Elliot Shore Park's with us, as he always is, Tuesdays with Elliot, 3 to 4. We will have Nick Sirianni as soon as he steps to the podium. Hopefully, he gives an injury update. The injury we want to hear about Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens. We want to hear about Saquon, whatever's going on with that calf. Hopefully it's not a big deal. And Kenny Gainwell, I imagine we won't hear for a little while, but that one also is a, I wouldn't say huge deal, but it is a deal.
I mean, yep. Kenny Gainwell is an important player, because when you give Saquon rest, especially in a game like this, and Kenny Gainwell's played in a Super Bowl, like Will Shipley definitely has a bright future. You saw that on Sunday. I think he's going to be a good player, but you don't really want a rookie carrying the ball in this game.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Kenny Gainwell is an important player in this game.
So you, I feel like you're a good source for this.
Thank you.
I was, you don't even know what I'm going to ask you. So about late coach for women.
Yes, exactly.
No,
yeah.
No.
I have started shopping for New Orleans.
Though. How many Commanders fans were actually there? It's harder to tell when they're scattered.
Yeah.
I thought I saw, maybe it's because red or the maroon and yellow is easy to spot. I thought I saw more fans from the other team scattered in the stadium than I usually see from opposing fans. But you always keep an eye on that. I was curious what you thought.
I actually agree with you.
Okay.
I was, to be clear, they did not take the stadium over or anything like that.
No.
But behind the Washington bench, I mean, in that section of the stadium, lower left, I mean, it was probably 10% Washington fans in there, if not a little lower. I mean, maybe a little lower, but there was more than I expected, like, for sure. I'll give them credit. There was more than you usually see of an opposing fan base in the stadium.
Yeah, and that's something
crazy, because pregame there weren't that many. But
yeah, I mean, listen, I saw some through the parking lot. You could see them. I mean, I understand it's an NFC Championship game. They're not that far away.
Close travel.
Yeah, they just travel up, and, you know, the well-off certainly aren't going to mind spending the money, considering that the team hasn't been there in 30 years.
They haven't been paying for playoff tickets for some time. So
they wanted to come and enjoy it in case the unthinkable happened. And if you're Eagles fans, and I said this prior too, that felt like it was going to happen, the win, maybe not in that fashion. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people took the chance of not going to that game, selling their tickets, and they're heading to New Orleans.
Right. Make the money off of that.
That's a good point.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I never blame anybody for selling their tickets, mm-hmm. right? In general, they're expensive. If you have a chance to make money, I've seen Sixers season tickets for a long time.
Especially if you want to go to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, making
that ain't
money
gonna
on
be cheap.
Sixers tickets,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, I did for a while.
Yeah, for a while.
For a while, yeah. But at the end, it was a loss of money, especially when the prices went up. But something we should keep an eye on, if this Commanders thing is real and Jaden Daniels continues to be good, they're going to come up here a lot.
Yeah.
And we got to be careful about selling tickets to to opposing fan bases.
But the tough thing is you can't really pick who you sell them to.
No,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
Or you just hold on to them.
Or either that, or you sell them like directly to somebody.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because they're going to be energized as long as the first time that the Commanders, when that game gets announced next year, if you normally put your tickets up on StubHub or Ticketmaster or however you sell it, and you're used to it, an Eagles fan buying the tickets, we're in the situation with an energized fan base like the Knicks fans were, where they're going to pay whatever, and they're going to take some pride in trying to come up here.
I love it.
And take it over.
I love it. Saturday night.
I mean, because I'm a guy, I respect the Eagles-Giants rival more than anything.
Yes.
We're in close proximity. Giants fans aren't as obnoxious as the Cowboy fans that are up this way. Washington fans have always been viewed like the cousin that you're cool with.
They just never mattered.
Yeah, but now they matter. Giants aren't going to matter forever, even if they get Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if he turns into Jaden Daniels. And the Cowboys just hired Brian Schottenheimer. So while I love running the NFC East, I still like having good rivalry games. And this Washington sort of rivalry could be something, you know, the beginning of something good for the next five, 6 years.
Yeah, and that is one thing the Eagles...
supposed to make sports fun.
Yeah. Haven't had really since you played, but like... when they've had to win the division over the past 10 years, you've had to do it with 12 wins. You know, it's not like the AFC East or whatever, one of these divisions.
Sure, where they went like 9-8, 10-7.
Or even there's one really good team and they run away by 4 or 5 games. So the Cowboys have been that team for a while, but I think they're going to take a step back next year for sure. So Washington's probably the team that pushes the Eagles now, where you're not going to win it at 10 games. Yeah.
Cowboys seem so far away.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these Washington fans are going to start getting on our nerves, I'm telling you.
For sure.
Yes,
because they're new to the party and they don't know how to act.
Yep.
Speaking of which, we haven't heard from Damon.
Damon. Weren't you going to call him?
Damon.
I might just call Damon.
Yeah, we might need to have him on. Damon.
Oh, Damon. My God.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. Which would be more impressive, beating Brady and Belichick or beating Mahomes and Andy this year? It has gotten very close. Mahomes, Andy at 54.2%.
Oh, it's going down.
Brady, Belichick, at 45.8%. What do you think, Elliot?
Man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think as of right now, and including this upcoming game, it would still be Brady and Belichick, but I think eventually it'll age to Mahomes and Andy.
Here is Nick Sirianni.
Talking to AJ after the game, he was asked about, you know, his emotions now that you start this sort of ramp up for the Super Bowl. Curious if you learned anything or one or two things from that first experience that maybe you can impart to the guys that are going to go through this for the first time.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's obviously different things that go into the week. You have 2 weeks to prepare, right? You have media obligations when you get there. And you know, the game is a little different as far as the breaks that are taken in the game. And so I think at the end of the day, it does come back to what we've talked about all year, just controlling what you can control and being in the moment of where you are. And I think, you know, when that is what you're conscious of and you're focused on through an entire year, it serves you well in going into this. So it's going to have to be the same stuff, just under some different circumstances as far as the way the game and the week lead up to it.
We'll go to Jeff and then Brooks.
Are you changing anything specifically, Nick, based off the experience of the first time?
Yeah, obviously you go through everything, and I won't get into details there, Jeff, of what we're changing, but you go through after each week, you talk about what you can do better and what you did well. That's a constant every Monday, and that's what we did after 2022 as well. So, you know, we have notes that we're going through and that we've been going through, couple tweaks here and there. Of what we'll do differently, a couple things that, you know, will stay the same. But of course, like anytime you go through any situation like that, you take notes like that, and you try to get better from each circumstance you go through.
We'll go to Brooks and then Ed.
Hey Nick, will Brandon Graham be available for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes and how that plays out. And I can't answer that question right now, but, you know, we'll see how the week works out and the 2 weeks work out.
What are the main factors in that decision?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll go to Ed and then Ruben.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Just to go back to that that tush-push play in the championship game when the Commanders kept jumping off sides, players thought it was pretty funny. What was your reaction to that, and were you aware of the rule that existed that the official could award a touchdown?
I actually was. We had a coach that I was with that did game management with the Chargers, Smash. And I don't remember why we were talking about it, but I remember us talking about it. And hey, they can award a touchdown in a moment like this. You know what? I do remember why we were talking about it. We were talking about it with if you were on the one with not a lot of time left, the defensive back keep holding. You know, why not keep holding in that? Whatever it was, I don't remember quite. That's why I shouldn't even went into that. But yeah, I remember him telling me, you know, if you do that enough times in a row, the referee can award him a touchdown. And I remember, like, saying the Smash, and I'm like, that's not a rule. Are you out of your mind? Like, I remember saying that to him, like, that's not a rule. And I remember him being very emphatic with me because he knows the rules really well, and telling me it was. And I text him after the game. I'm like, Smash, you were right. And so we have talked about that since. So we did know that in that scenario, because I remember saying, or I said to the referees on the side, hey, they keep doing this, it can be a touchdown, right? And they said, yeah, that's correct. So,
did you think it was funny, though? Did you get a kick out of what they were doing?
Did I think it was funny? No, yeah, not really. Yeah, not particularly. I just wanted our guys to be, you know, obviously always thinking about the safe and healthy health of our players.
Thank you.
We'll go to Ruben and then Dave.
Hey, Nick, we've talked so much this year about turnovers and takeaways. And the last 16 games since the bye week, you guys are plus 27, which is kind of an outrageous number. I guess the question is, two-part question, how pivotal is that to your overall kind of what you guys do and how you win? How important is it? And, you know, you have 18 different guys that have takeaways, which is another crazy number. So, like, anybody on the team can force a turnover at any point. How valuable is that? It's not just one, two, three guys. It's really everybody.
Yeah. First, the players going out there and being able to do it is incredible because, you know, you're taking chances at times too of, because we've tackled well too. I think sometimes you see in those scenarios that teams take chances there, but they don't make tackles. Well, you know, we've been in the top 10 of you know, missed tackle percentage in the NFL, and which we take a lot of pride in. Again, goes back to our details. But the players, when they go out there and execute that on the defensive side of the ball, that's easier said than done. And just really proud of them of how they've, you know, been able to tackle well while also taking the football away. It's something we emphasize an awful lot. You know, we've always done a good job of, you know, emphasizing it on offense. I think this year we've taken another step and really emphasized it even more so this year as a defense. You know, every team meeting, we're looking at the ball security, any mistake that's made in a ball security. Every team meeting, we're looking at good strip attempts or missed strip attempt opportunities. And, you know, this year, Pat Dolan, our video guy, got me every peanut punch that he forced a fumble with his entire career, and we watched that on a loop as coaches, and then we showed that to the players as well. But, you know, so we emphasize the crap out of it because we know it's such a telling stat in this game. Our guys have done a nice job protecting it. Our defensive guys have done a nice job taking it away, as well as our special teams guys. You know, we'll get one in, you know, in the game as well. We've drilled the heck out of it, but, you know, you got to have talented players to be able to do both, you know, because it is a skill to be able to tackle and take the ball away. And I think the other thing it shows is the effort to the football. You know, we had our second man in with Zach Bond. You know, Coop had him tied up, and Zach was able to come in and get a hit on the ball. On the one on Sunday. So just that shows you relentless effort by our guys of getting to the football. And we talk a lot about, you know, good things happen when you get to the ball, whether that be, you know, Zach going in and cleaning it up on Sunday, whether that be Grant Calcaterra being there behind the football on Dallas's fumble against Washington on that Thursday night. And it's just, you got guys that are in great shape to be, like, you can't be relentless effort unless you're in great shape. So it's just another notch to these guys of how good they have their bodies in shape, and the strength staff and the training staff, just of getting those guys in shape, and the guys themselves just, you know, being relentless.
Thank you.
We'll go to Dave and then Martin.
And Nick, with how often you talk about facing adversity, what do you think you showed your team with dealing, you know, how you dealt with your adversity coming into this season?
Yeah, everything that I asked them to do, you know, it's like I think about, if I'm asking them to do something, I better be pretty darn good at it, whether that's detail, whether that's mental toughness. They don't need to see me physically tough. I don't need to be that anymore. But mental toughness, whether that's connecting, those three pillars of our, you know, of our culture, that I better be doing those things like crazy. And so, I don't know. Hopefully, I provide a good example for them in moments like that. But I also hope that, you know, I provide a good example to them of blocking out the things that you can't control and the outside noise, because there's always going to be outside noise. And so, again, just try to be an example and lead by example. Like, words are, you know, culture words up on your, culture is not words that are up on your wall, or, you know, or t-shirt that you wear. It's not what it is. It's your habits. And if I want our guys to have these habits, then I better have them myself, and our coaches better have them. And I guess I just try to live by that, Dave.
We'll go to Martin and then Bob.
Hey, Nick, you guys have like 8 new starters on defense compared to the team that you took to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. What does that say about, you know, the job you guys did drafting and bringing in guys? And also, like, you know, considering that, I assume it's tough to stay, you know, among the, the elite teams in the league to be back in the Super Bowl with such a big turnover.
Yeah, I think there is, fortunately, or whatever, however you want to look at it, there is a lot of turnover in this league, right? There's no team that's the same, you know, year in, year out. There's free agency, guys retire. You know, there's just so many different things that play into it. There's salary cap, all those different things that play into it, is that, you know, that's what is special about each individual team, is that you're starting the journey again. And you have principles in place and all those different things, but you're starting the journey over and over again. And we do have, you know, key members that have been here for the last 3 years. You know, I've said how many times, I can't tell you how many times I've said how good a job Howie's done and getting these guys in here. And then it's about, you know, building the team and building the habits and the guys continuing to get better. And I think that's what you've seen. And that's, you know, with 8 new starters on defense, you know, really good defense in 2022, a really good defense here in 2024. So much credit to Howie and his staff, and then the guys themselves have gone out there and playing their butts off.
We'll go to Bob and then Olivia.
Hey, Nick, you guys might have had one of the greatest bye weeks ever this year. Consider what you did afterwards. I think you said a few years ago, your first year, you asked Nick, Andy, about how to handle bye weeks. What advice did you get then? You're 7-1 in byes now. He's 32-6. What advice did you get from him then? And how is the bye week, Super Bowl bye week, different than maybe the regular season bye week?
Yeah, obviously, always will keep my conversations with other coaches, players privately, but always so appreciative of any coach that is willing to help in scenarios and situations. I'm always so appreciative, and so many of these coaches have so much good knowledge to be able to share, and it just, hopefully I can pay it forward to other coaches that ask me questions that I can help them with at some point. As far as the differences between a bye week here and a bye week, you know, in the middle of the season, I think the one major difference, Bob, is that, you know, in the season, you might not practice that week, right? The guys will be off. They have to have a certain amount of time off. This week's this is a little different because you're going into a week next week. That's a little unusual, right? With some of the things. So you got to get a lot of the game plan done. You got to get practice in to practice against the stuff. But you also want to get guys rested and healthy and ready to go. So there are definitely differences. One by the rules of it, and then two, just about what the following week looks like. So it's handled a little bit differently.
Go to Olivia, then Tim.
Hey, Nick. We talked to Cam in the locker room after the game. He said that he expects that he'll be great for the Super Bowl. We didn't get to talk to Landon. Between his just general toughness and the fact that you've got 2 weeks here to get ready for the Super Bowl, how confident are you that he will be good to go?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I know that these guys, I mean, how tough these guys are and, do everything they can and how hard they work. And all these guys are playing through, bumps and bruises right now. And I just see their relentless work and their relentless effort to get themselves in as best shape as they possibly can with their bodies to be ready to go. So time will tell, and we'll see as that goes. But I know that these guys are doing everything they can do. I can't tell you how much I respect what they go through and what they put their bodies through to play this game that we love. I just got so much respect for that. And just, I mean, toughness is a characteristic that I value so much, in life and in football. And we got a tough team. And these guys, the guys you're asking about, they're tough as heck. And, and so that you can go a long way with that, with toughness.
Go to Tim and then Bo.
And Nick, I wanted to ask you about Jalen's straitjacket comment after the game here. Just kind of your interpretation of that, and then also how much of what you're asking him to do, the way you're asking him to play the game this year, is factoring into the fact that, it wasn't the most prolific, passing season for him.
Yeah, I think he was having fun after the game. We've been winning a couple different ways this year. I think he's just having fun after the game, but I know this, and he said this plenty of times, he don't care how we win. I don't care how we win. As long as we win and we do everything we can do, to be able to win. And as we've talked a lot, there's been different circumstances of how games have went and where we've been at and late in games. But we found a way to win and rattle off, 15 out of 16. And so, again, thought he was having fun with that after the game and just loved how he went out and executed and prepared for this game. I always admire that. You guys have asked me about that. I always admire the heck out of him of how hard he works regardless of the situation. Same guy every day, his mentality, his work ethic. And, we had to win a different way this game, and we did. And we showed that we can win multiple ways. I think that shows the type of team we have and the type of selflessness we have on our team, starting with Jalen.
We have time for two more. So we'll go to Bo and then Zach.
Hey, Nick, I wanted to ask you a specific turnover question. They said on the broadcast that you emphasize that when guys are coming up from the ground, that's a good time to try to get the ball out. I want to know, how that came to be, when that became a particular focus.
Yeah, that's been a particular focus. I think you go back, you go back to 2020, and Zach Pascal had one in our Buffalo game of Indy versus Buffalo in the playoffs, and Zach was getting up with the football, and I think Micah Hyde ripped at it as he was getting up. The ball tends to be, there's moments that the ball is at risk. And I don't want to get into everything that we teach there. I won't get into everything that we teach there when that ball's at risk. But one of the moments where the ball's at risk is you getting up off the ground. Because one ball, and vice versa, another time the ball's at risk when you're going to the ground, right? Because naturally your body, as you get up, tends to loosen up on that, and when you're going down, the same thing as you tend to brace. So those are things that we drill, Jamal Singleton has done an unbelievable job of finding creative ways to drill those two things, and so we drill the heck out of them. And just like the other ball security stuff, we also, you know, if the guy misses a strip opportunity in a moment in practice where he's getting up and we don't take advantage of it, we talk about it. It also happened in our 2022 game against Washington with Quez Watkins. He caught a post from Jalen. He was getting up off the ground, and the ball was at risk. And I think number 25, who's still playing over there, knocked the ball out. And so, again, sometimes you don't have a wide, you know, and if it happens during the league in a game during the league year, we'll show that as well. And so that's not one that's real common because it doesn't happen a ton. But you're sure excited when it happens. And I think Oren, right. And to be able to mentally, think about that in the game that Oren did, is pretty incredible. That he's got coverage responsibilities. He reacts. He sees Eckler going to the ground. He's going there. Eckler gets up and he's like, oh shoot, I'm gonna punch here. And those are things that you can't do in the spur of the moment unless those are your habits. Like, that's why the habits part is so critical. It's like, we can talk about it all we want, but unless you're practicing that, unless you're emphasizing it, and after you practice it, then they're not. Then they don't. It's got to be part of who you are, because they're split second situations where these things happen. And so, I guess you just sometimes our best coaching points and our best things that we think about are happen to you because of something that negative that happened to you, right? Those are both situations. Now, in the Buffalo Indy game, they called Zach down. I think we might have got away with one there. Quez definitely was a fumble, and it turned that a little bit. And so sometimes your scars of the things that you've went through help you become better. And I think that's just another way of our team, embracing adversity and trying to get better from each individual thing that we go through.
We'll end with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. What's the plan for this week as far as how much will you guys be on the field? Will all the game planning be in before you go to New Orleans? How are you handling logistical meetings? Kind of all the stuff that happens during the bye week.
Yeah. We have a plan. We're still sorting through some other things of it. And so, a big chunk of it is ready to go. And so I won't share everything with you guys, but we'll practice. We'll be on the field. We'll be installing things to give you a percentage or a time. Still some of that stuff's up in the air, but you got to get a good portion of it done because of the schedule. Like I was saying to, I believe, Bob, the schedule's a little different next week. There's some different things that you got to handle next week. And, you might not have the all day Tuesday meeting or an all day Monday meeting because of media night that you would normally have as coaches. So, won't get into percentages with you, but you got to get a lot done this week and, refine it and, make sure everything's on point the following week.
There he is, Nick Sirianni. We'll get back to more with Tuesdays with Elliot right after I tell you about Colonial Hyundai. I tell you about Colonial Hyundai all the time because I believe in them. Been part of the Colonial family for a long time. Very, very excited. They've got the new dealership completely built. John Ashdale Cars, our team at Colonial, have been working to get it ready to make their faster, easier, better experience even faster, even easier than before. Whether you're buying, whether you're leasing, whether you're servicing your car, right now, effortless to buy, trade, or upgrade at Colonial Hyundai. Going to give you more for your trade than anyone else all the time. Everyone knows they're consistently recognized for giving the highest trade-in value, $6,500 guaranteed, over 200 brand-new Hyundais in stock, whether you want a Santa Fe or a Palisade or Kona, Tucson. It's all there right now. Limited time. Drive home a new Hyundai Elantra SEL Sport for just $119 a month. And as you know, every new Hyundai from Colonial comes with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain, Hyundai Assurance, and a 3-year complimentary maintenance plan. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai is the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Elliot, somebody asked the question, and Nick's response was he was having fun after the game, so on and so forth. What did you think? So we had the two answers. They even asked Nick about Jalen. Mm-hmm. They just asked Nick about how about this team, and he was like, how about this quarterback? He just wins very overboard. He was very
Nick.
A lot
very,
of praise.
Yes, yeah.
And then they asked Jalen, you know, what do you think about the job Nick has done? And he kind of chuckled. He said, a great job. And then he said, they finally let me out of my straitjacket. Mm-hmm. What did you take from that response?
So I think at this point, we just have to accept Nick and Jalen are two very different people when it comes to how they express themselves and how they are at the podium. So it is almost always going to look like Nick is being over the top, waxing poetically about him. And that just is not who Jalen is. I mean, I can't think of almost anybody that he's gone on and on about at the podium, whether, you know, teammate, whatever. So just kind of not who Jalen is from my experience of watching him at the podium. But I do think two things off of that as well. One, he could do a better job of just complimenting Nick more. It's just, even if he doesn't feel it, whatever, it just looks better when he does it. So in that moment, after Nick has gone on and on about you, to just go, he's had a great year, he let me out the straitjacket. Like, you could give a little more there about, you know, how you like Nick. But also, I think that's how Jalen feels. And I think Jalen feels like he has sacrificed this year by not throwing a lot, by not being the focal point of the offense like most quarterbacks are. And now we can say he's right, wrong, whatever. But he has every right to feel that way, like as himself. So I think the whole take the straitjacket thing off, I'm sure he is sick of people hearing all year he doesn't throw it enough, he can't throw it enough. And in the biggest game, he threw it well. So I think that's what he was trying to say.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. I believe Nick when he's saying it was just Jalen having a little fun, being a little sarcastic about the question and everything else. But there is, as it is in every joke, a little bit of truth to it. So I agree with you when you bring up that Jalen as a competitor, I'd be surprised if he didn't feel restrained a little bit, right? He has to feel this as a quarterback in this league when the perception is you're winning because of running the football and they're taking the ball out of your hands and these sort of things. When a team is winning as much as it's winning, the quarterback usually is a part of the storyline, a big part of it. In most cases, leading, the driving force.
In the MVP discussion.
Yes, in most cases. Yeah. But I think you don't see him in that MVP discussion because that's what the perception of this year's Eagles offense is that it's your offensive line and it's Saquon Barkley. I mean, when A.J. Brown goes games where he catches one ball or two ball, they're going to look at the quarterback. When A.J. Brown says, you know, what could you guys be doing better? Or to fix the offense, I'm paraphrasing. I forget what the exact question was. And he says passing, all of that stuff from a perception standpoint points to the quarterback and how he's playing. So he hears that stuff, and I'm pretty sure he gets sick of hearing it.
Yeah. Well, remember after the Steelers game, he sat down, he says, this is what you guys wanted to see.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
At the front of his mind.
And I don't blame him. I say, he's a competitor. There has to be something in him that says, hold on, I know I may not be playing great, but I'm nothing to sneeze at over here. Like what I'm doing is playing good football. There has to be some sort of feeling of that in him. And if you really follow him throughout his career, even in college and the pros, I don't know if maybe at Oklahoma, maybe he was. I know he had CeeDee Lamb.
When he was the guy.
Yeah. But yeah, when he finished second in the Heisman voting that year at Oklahoma. When he was at Bama, he wasn't the driving force. Even when he was the starter, he wasn't the driving force for their winning.
Yeah, I mean, look,
But he won a lot of games.
There's not many humans walking this earth at Jalen's age that have accomplished more in football than Jalen has. So we can say style points, just saying if you put his resume down, black and white piece of paper, there's not many people that have accomplished more than Jalen in football. So
I agree.
So from his perspective, I am sure
say the same thing about Nick, who put the straitjacket on.
I agree.
Right. You know what I mean?
We didn't put a straitjacket on him, his coach did.
But I also think what has to be frustrating for Jalen, too, is not only when they pass it, they not pass it much. The whole objective of the passing game, it feels like, is don't turn it over. That's number one. So even when it is a passing play, it doesn't feel like the passing play is, you know, you're throwing it 50 yards down the field or you're squeezing it 20 yards over the middle. It is very like, if that's not there, you check it down or like don't take any chances. So yeah, I'm sure all year it has felt like he has played with it within the restraining jacket.
In fairness, whether he considers it a straight jacket or not, he went through a stretch of 20 games, 21 games, 16 last year, 17, you include the playoff. Well, it was 18, right? When you include the play, 18 games. The four games earlier this year, 22 games. He led the league in turnovers.
Yep, 100%.
Like, so he went through a full year and a quarter of a year where he turned the ball over more than any other quarterback.
Well, and also, Jalen can feel how he feels, and he has the right to feel that way. That doesn't mean it's correct. Like, I understand
him. I completely agree.
You know,
yes.
And like, as much as you say, Nick, and I think you're correct in saying it, like, they sculpted the offense different after the bye week. Part of that was Jalen's own teammates saying, you know, we should run the ball more.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Well, I think, however this season ends, it is an interesting storyline moving forward. Like, what they can't do this again. Certainly not just with Saquon. Saquon's not going to be able to take the beating that he took this year in two consecutive years. Not beating, the amount of usage.
Nobody ever touches him.
Yeah. Well, the amount of usage, just historically.
I know what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I didn't thought of that component of it, but it'll be interesting to see next year what they do.
Yeah.
Well, I was all confident that we'd be good. Until Kellen Moore started to become a head coaching candidate. Now, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. If Moore leaves, do they keep the same offense? Do they bring in a new guy?
Well, you know what's kind of...
Got to be another offensive coordinator for Jalen.
What's kind of crazy is in 2022, they lost Gannon to the Cardinals. The Super Bowl was in Arizona. He just stayed there.
Yep.
And now they might lose Kellen Moore to the Saints, and the Super Bowl is in New Orleans. So, just something about, you know...
Well, they flew here to meet with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's gonna in his free time in New Orleans, just a little house shopping while he's down there?
If I find out he was anywhere else besides practice, about the Gannon
dude, thing, we should keep an eye on Kellen Moore.
He might not be rolling around the French Quarter or wherever it is down there.
I'll be curious to see if Fangio's defense isn't good in the Super Bowl, if that changes how people view Gannon in the Super Bowl in 2022. Because when they got lit up by Mahomes, it was, you know, the defense was terrible, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's just really hard to stop Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
He's a Gannon guy.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I don't think anybody's relitigating the Gannon thing.
I know. I'm trying to get him to do it.
Yeah.
Trust me. I'm ready to relitigate.
Shots.
Wait, what is that?
That's Gannon when he got hired.
All the stuff I missed.
I forget the receiver. Who was it that he told that to?
It was a little small.
Was it Dortch?
Moore? Elijah Moore?
Rondale Moore.
Rondale Moore.
He told him to get excited.
Hey, shots.
You got fire in your gut.
Connecting with his players.
Well, Elliot,
we're better this year.
Excited to see you in New Orleans next week. We're all going to.
Lots of outfits.
How many outfits we got, dog? What you working with?
I'm trying to decide what all my vibes
are. What you working with?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think a blazer to media night? I feel like that's kind of lame.
Yeah, no blazer, bro.
That's what I'm thinking, right? Yeah,
no blazer.
Just bathing suit.
Lady coat.
Yeah, lady coat.
Nice pair of heels.
Underwear, lady coat, no shirt, heels.
If there's anywhere,
somebody will be there with that on. Yeah, somebody will be there with that on.
Are you guys coming to media night?
I guess.
Are you kidding me? What else am I doing?
Is it short weather?
What else am I doing?
No, it's not short weather, bro.
Keep your little Birkins socks or whatever they're called.
The puppies are purring.
Yeah. It's going to be like in the 60s.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's better than this.
Nice light coat.
Yeah.
Nah, man. That's hoodie and shorts weather.
That is hoodie weather.
Yeah. Well, to get yourself ready for the Super Bowl, Go Birds Daily comes out every single day. Subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts in the Odyssey app, whatever. When you wake up, you get what better than 25 or 30 minutes of Elliot to start
your
day.
The best way to start the day, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm
exactly
let that go.
Right, yeah.
Please let it go.
Yes.
It's called a big dose of D.
Oh, no, I said let it go!
Yes.
All right,
behind the wall.
Jordan Mailata joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.